Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrienne, and I just wanted to share that the episode you're about to hear was recorded before the genocide in Gaza, the escalation that we're sitting in right now. So I think there's still a ton in here that is really useful and can even be applied to this time. It's also not unusual that we record our episodes a little early, but then when they land is when they're most needed, even if we didn't know what was coming. So I hope that this episode feels really useful to you. And if it's not possible for you to bring your attention to it in this moment, it's okay. It'll wait. Love you so much. Hello, beloved listeners. This is Adrienne, writer of stories and songs, emergent strategist, and pleasure activist, living in the land of the Shikori, Skarure, Tuscarora, Eno, and Lumbee peoples. And this is How to Survive the End of the World, our podcast about learning from apocalypse with grace, rigor, and curiosity. When I say our, I'm including my co-host and sister Autumn, who is currently on sabbatical. In her absence, and in honor of my recent book, Fables and Spells, I'm going full witch this season and having conversations with my favorite witches and teachers. I'll also be reading you little bits and pieces from the book at the end of each episode. What I mean by witch is people who work with the elements of the natural world, including our human nature, to generate more possibilities. Witching is engaging the essential natural world with magic, healing, or supernatural intentions. Some names for what I'm including in this work are shamanism, sorcery, seeing, healing, herbalism, midwifery and doula labor, reiki, root work, conjuring, ritual and spell casting, astrology and divination, sound baths, altar building, song channeling, building a direct relationship between the realm of the ancestors, spirit, the holy, the ethereal, and ourselves. We're having a blast doing this season, and I want to remind you that if you're loving it, if you're loving the conversations, if you're loving the witches that we're bringing around in this table, you should totally become one of our sponsors on Patreon. We have no ads. We have no grants. We have no funders. We're not beholden to anyone. We get to do what we want because y'all are down to support us with a dollar a month every now and then. So if you listen regularly, we do ask that you participate in that way. It helps us out if you can. Now, my guest today is, for me, going back down memory lane. And it's one of my beloved teacher friends, Adela Nieves. And Adela and I met in New York. You know why I feel like that? Because you're so New York. We met in Detroit and we got to work together on the U.S. Social Forum of 2010. And back then, Adela Nieves was stomping around as the communications expert that everyone needed in the room. And then I got to watch as she went through this incredible transformation of recognizing she needed to change her name, that she needed to reclaim her healing lineage, that she was taking on learning Reiki, that she was going back to Puerto Rico, everything that she was doing became about the way that she could be a healing force in the world. She started a group in Detroit called Healing by Choice, which I got to participate in and be a part of because I was like, my little baby healer, I'm coming with you. And I also want to say that I have gotten to lay on a table many times in Adela's hands and with her attention, and I have felt the power of what she can do as a healer. I have felt my ancestors walk into the room and be in conversation with her and with me. I have felt energy that no longer needed to be in my body leave me. She has held me through multiple relationships where she helped us figure out what was going on. So when I think of like, oh, who's the medicine woman at the edge of the village who just can help with everything? Adela is one of the people I think of. She's also an incredible mama bear. And I'm just so excited, Adela, to welcome you to How to Survive the End of the World. Hi, my love.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Adrienne, and that inspiring, inspired myself introduction. I want to thank your I want to thank your ancestors and my ancestors for bringing us together. There's no mistakes. And also want to send love to Autumn as you take a pause and a breath. And it's a good example for all of us.
Isn't it? I'm so freaking proud of her right now. And, you know, it's especially so important to me for her as a mother of three to be taking this time. Like, she's been rocking it out and she's tried to do sabbaticals before and life has happened, but now she's really doing it. All right. So I always like to start off these conversations just getting us into the present moment. So can you share with us, how are you right now today?
How am I right now today? There's a deep joy inside of me, a peacefulness. There's an unknowing and a knowing, and I'm okay with both of those. And there is where I sit today is relearning how to connect to that young place within me. And so I have a 6.5-year-old and she's guiding me back. So yeah, that's where I am. Thank you for that question.
Thank you for that answer. I love that idea of being guided back and returned to self. It's a sweet morning for me. As you know, we just got to see each other, Adela, and I'm in this grief cycle, and you're literally the first person outside of the bubble of grief that I got to sit with and be with, which was right on time. Like, I was like, I know the universe loves me when Adela randomly is in town and is the person who can come over and sit with me. And the grief, I'd say, is going well, if that makes sense. Like, I'm crying a lot and I'm writing a lot and I'm not forcing anything through my system. I'm just letting it flow through my system and being with the mystery of a world without my good friend in it. And I'm in this moment post-orgasmic and well slept. Which is just like such my favorite place to be. Like, I'm like, oh right, like I have a body and I rested it and I pleasured it. And now I get to talk to my friend, like, yay Friday. I really feel like I wish more of the work was done in a post pleasure state. Like, it doesn't have to be an orgasmic state, but if people were like, let me wake up and really start my day off with something that brings me pleasure, if it's reading, if it's a meditation, if it's sitting out on the back patio, or if it's an orgasm or whatever it is, but just that was how people started their days on earth. They're like, just remember, this is the foundation. And then we can go see what the mess is that everyone's been making of it.
I love that. I want to respond to that quickly, just to
yeah.
Since my 6-year-old is my guide. One of my guides, but Nona.
Yes.
Nona won't go to school or won't feel right, won't feel in her spirit and body, unless she sits out on the porch, on the hammock, and just watches the sun and is with the elements and just swings for a little while before she can say, okay, I'm ready, let's get dressed, let's go. And
oh my God.
Why not? Why not?
She's so right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I really believe in this. You know, it's so interesting because I, for years, was resistant to a morning practice. And now I'm like, oh no, it really transforms what's possible in a day. If you start off with some intentionality and some just being like, who am I? You know, I scan my body. I'm like, rub my tummy. My friend Jody taught me this abdominal massage that has also been rocking my world first thing in the morning. It's just like, nice. Just to be with your core, you know?
Thank you, Joey.
So I know, I'm like, yay. So I know that I'm using the language of witch to sort of organize and gather under an umbrella for this season. But I know that's not necessarily how people speak of themselves when they're doing this work. So I wanted to start off there. How do you identify and speak about the healing work that you do?
I think it's changed over the years, Adrian. And it might have a transformation again from here.
Yeah.
So right now, I would say that I'm a keeper of story. I'm a listener, someone who listens underneath the words. And then to meet my other fellow traditional health and healers, I walk close to get to them, and I'm a traditional health practitioner. And I couldn't even get the words out fully, because there's a place in me there's a place in me that's like, none of it really has a name.
That's right. It reminds me of the Tao. You know, it's like the Tao says, the way that can be spoken is not the way. And I always think of that, where I'm just like, as a person of words and a person who's writing books and trying to use words to pull people together and pull people into the same space, I always know that I'm working at the deficit, because what we're talking about actually doesn't have one particular name or one particular word to gather it. But I love keeper of story. I love keeper of story. And, you know, as I said, from where I was sitting as your friend and in community with you, I first experienced you stepping onto the Reiki path in like 2011, 2012. But I know that that doesn't necessarily mean that that's when you were drawn to the work or where your story begins. So I'd love to hear that from you, is when did you realize that you were being drawn to this path and working with bodies and with health and traditional healing methods?
I don't know if I was drawn, Adrian. I think it just always was. I think it always was.
Period.
Yeah. And when I had to put language to it, I resisted it. It felt too big for me. It felt too big, and like it wasn't part of my skin anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. And so let me share this small story with you.
Yeah.
About how I really, how I started not being so resistant, and allowing myself to be a little bit more public, is that so many years ago, my grandmother, Carmen, was going in for a pretty risky surgery. We didn't know there was a possibility that she wouldn't make it out. And so she asked me for a few minutes before she went into surgery and said to me, "This is your work. And everything else is in support of that."
Wow.
So I could feel the truth in it.
How old were you?
Goodness, I was probably, so my grandmother had been reminding me about this journey since I was 5.
Adela.
So it's always just been part of who we are, Bella. And so at this point, I was probably in my late 20s when she was like, "Let's go, let's go." I was doing communications work as another form of storytelling, as making making stories, helping and supporting stories that weren't visible or told.
Wow.
Be more visible, right? That was my way.
Right,
and
right.
She was saying to me, "That's in partnership with your journey." And so I felt the truth in it, but I was still resistant.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, because it was just part. Yeah, it was just part of me. It was part of me, Adrian, and I didn't know that I wanted it to be a public part of my life. I want it to be a hip hop head. I want it to be a hip hop head, a disco dancer.
know? Yeah, I do know. I mean, I really understand that.
Yeah, and so maybe I will still be a disco dancer or a hip hop head one day, but right now, or for the next 20 something years or the rest of my life, this is my journey, and you don't get the work for it to be only yours.
I love that. So it sounds like your grandmother is someone who could be considered now an ancestor in the lineage of your work. And I know that for almost everyone that I've talked to, and I know for myself, that there's both informal and formal lineages of the way that I'm approaching the work. So I'd love to hear from you what you consider to be the lineages of your work, and if there's particular ancestors or teachers you want to name.
Yeah, thank you. Very important, very important. Mm-hmm. So I'll start by saying my people are Boricua, from Borique. So from Borique now, or also known as Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And we're a mix of beautiful people and also a lot of pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ancestors I know most, or that I'm most comfortable with, because I still have work to do with the places and the faces that aren't as comfortable.
I understand.
So we're Taíno, and Taíno means we're indigenous people that are descended from the Arawak.
Uh-huh.
And so that's really the lineage that I walk on. And I have teachers in the Mexica and the Mayan and the Aztec. And also my grandmother, which was espiritismo, right? Traditional spiritual work. And those are the three places I stand most comfortably and continuing to learn from the land here and the land that I'm giving permission wherever I step to share.
Yes. Wow. That's stunning. It's stunning. I mean, I always feel, I don't know if it's ancestral jealousy or something. I feel there's this feeling I have when people know their lineage very clearly, that I feel as a person who's been displaced from a lot of my lineage, that is, it's like a jealousy without a shadow to it. It's like just an open longing for my own knowing of that. And I've been doing a lot of work to lean into and feel into it. But it feels nourishing and healing to me also to just be like, oh, listen to that. It just feels like something unbroken, you know, that's coming down. And I feel so exciting. I'm like, oh, what, how cool would that have been to have a grandmother who was like telling you, like, girl, get your calling together. You're supposed to be doing some magic out here on these streets.
My grandmother had made the decision to not walk fully because of public taboo, especially in the Western world. And so I was upset with her for guiding me towards this journey, because she made the decision to be less public and not to share it with many. And I know that decision hurt her and harmed her spirit deeply. Mm. And so she wasn't going to allow that to be the next generation.
Okay. That's actually really gorgeous to know too. Because I think part of why I feel like I'm doing this season is related to that, is feeling like there's all of these people out there who may have been displaced or have intentionally had to go underground or had their lineage go underground. But there's a way that we can feel that something has made it through the ages, something has made it through the blood and is in us and with us, the spirit is calling and saying, we need more than just our tangible flesh technologies in order to make it through this time. And part of what I want to do is sort of shine a light on not even the, like some of the practices, but really the possibility. I'm like, that's right. The possibility that there is a spark in you that can feel the unseen and that can partner with the elements and that can help us through this, you know, I'm like, consider, I remember once being on your table, and as often happened when I would finish a session with you, I'd be worshiping you, just like, thank you, Adela. Oh my God, you saved my life. And then you were like, you did this with me. You are doing this with me. You're doing this. You know, I can't do anything that you're not available for. And there was just such a sense of, it awakened this sense of possibility in me that I was like, wait, you know, I could feel for this in myself. And I hadn't had it necessarily offered to me that way. It was always like healing is something done to you, rather than healing is something done with you. And healing is something that you can constantly be cultivating and journeying with in yourself. And it impacts everything else you do. That's right. It was such That's a right. shift. And That's right. So you know, I've watched you do your work in a lot of different ways. And one of the things I've always loved about you is I feel like you're a very emergent practitioner in that you, as you're in the practice, unveil more and more of your capacities. And then you get curious and you're like, let me go figure out what this is and how do I do it with integrity? And, you know, I remember you being like, hold on, I've unlocked levels that I wasn't expecting to unlock. I'm going to go figure out how to hold that well. And so I know now you're still doing this work, but it feels like you've shifted how you do it. So I'd love to hear from you. What are all the ways you do this listening work, this healing technology, these traditional healing methods?
I want to respond to something you said, Adrian, right before you asked this question about the possibilities and the openings that you felt in yourself.
Yes.
And my, how, my recognition, right? That that there's not one of us that doesn't have that possibility or who doesn't have a deeper knowing that we all come in with. We all come in with it. And we all, and the Western world very quickly disconnects us from that knowing, from those possibilities.
Yes.
Right? But it's always there.
Yeah.
And I had to surrender to that I also had a knowing, and it was okay to recognize it, to love it, and to share it with others, and welcome that knowing reflected back in someone else reflecting back to me theirs. And that didn't look a particular way based on the identities that we talk about, the genders that we talk about, the binaries that we put each other in. Yeah. I had to allow myself to walk with spirit, to hear spirit. And there were times in my life where I got marred. Mm-hmm. I got marred in the external, and I had to step back.
Yeah.
Step back and listen. Listen to the land, listen to spirit. Come back to my knowing, come back to my ancestors. Mm. And so that's been, I've been a little more silent since I left Detroit. I now live back on the land of my peoples.
Yeah. Right?
And it's that way of everything starting with a conversation.
Yes.
What the Mexica would call plática. Really getting to know each other heart to heart. Not what you're wearing, not how you smell, not where you've been, where you've been as far as titles.
Yeah.
Just. What's your heart? Here, let me share some of mine. Will you reveal some of yours? Corazón a corazón.
I love that.
In those conversations, is when a spirit starts revealing what's important to you.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
Where your deeper knowing, when you feel a level of comfort, when you feel a level of trust, where you know someone is really open up to a place of just the heart.
Yeah. Right?
I'm not here to heal you. I'm not here to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I just want to sit and have a conversation with you. And if your spirit, if your heart decides that you want to reveal, then I'm here for that. And I can hold some of it in relationship and in partnership with you. And so in that place is when spirit will start to reveal what's important. And it's purposely what the Western world hasn't given words to. And we might not even speak it if we might not even speak it to each other if we had the words.
Yes. Yeah.
And so from that conversation,
it really resonates.
Yeah. I'm so glad. So from that conversation, that heart to heart, that revelation, that trust is when we plan our next steps together. It's a together, right? Because my ancestors are in the room too.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say. It feels like it opened up new possibilities of intimacy and being known to me, that I'm like, oh, you can be known not just as your individual self and the presentation you're putting on for the world, but you can actually be known as this being of many ancestors and many stories that are weaving together in a lifetime. And like, when I was like, wait, you know, I remember like it was yesterday. I'm like, you just met my grandfather who's passed, and you are describing him like you never met him. I haven't told you about him, and you're describing him to me in ways that really, I'm just like, what? How do you know my grandfather? You know? And it was just like, oh, this is possible for us as a species. Like, and we're not exploring this, you know, we're all getting jobs and like talking shit about each other. And instead of being like, honey, I want to dance with your ancestors while they dance with mine. You know, it's just such a different way of being in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's part of it, Adrian. It's,
it's
okay. We revealed some of the deeper places to each other. Yeah. So what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
How are we going to continue this journey? Are we going to align spirit and body? Are we going to sing? Are we going to dance? Are we going to cry? Are we going to scream?
Yeah.
And there's no prescription. Everyone comes with their own knowing and needing for that moment.
That's
and
right.
The next moment may be different. And I may be different in the next moment too. And so
probably,
I don't have a name for all of it.
Yeah.
All I can say is if you're open to showing me some of your heart, I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there.
Beloved survivors, it's autumn. Wow. I've been loving this witch season. I trust that you have too, because it's just excellent. I'm still on sabbatical for a few more months, but Adrian and I did just drop a new Patreon exclusive episode over at patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. And it's a voice memo conversation that we recorded over the course of a few weeks. So if you love me and miss hearing my voice, if you love our show enough to listen to Adrian and I talk about new love, about aging, about roaches and utopias, you can head over to our Patreon and become a patron at any level. And you'll get immediate access to this most recent exclusive episode, as well as our collection of show merch, all of the Ask Us Anything episodes that we've made, and a forthcoming virtual live show that we're planning. All of it is yours. I miss you. Adrian and I thank you for your support. We love you. Yeah, and go to patreon.com/endoftheworldshow to check out all the juiciness. Okay, talk soon.
I want to ask you, because I have also watched you become a mother during this time, and it feels like the way you took on your mother role was the same tenacious, intense, like, shifting into role, right? It was like, I am mother now. And I want to ask you, is that take correct? Like, it feels like it that just wove into the sacred work.
I never wanted children.
Yeah.
Right? And so I was already 19 years into my relationship, and very clear, I thought about a few things. And I got bypassed by spirit, right? And once I found out that I was with light, I wasn't sure I was going to make the full decision to go through with it. I still had doubt in me, and then obviously decided. And what wound up happening, Adrian, in that process was that there were places within me that I had purposely closed, that I had purposely put away to never look at or touch again. And my body moved in ways that it wouldn't have moved if I hadn't made this decision. This was my journey. For other folks, it would happen differently. But it opened up compartments that I felt more ready to look at and touch and possibly heal so that I'd be really prepared and ready to open that heart space and open up the places in me that were closed for this life. And so she was guiding me from the beginning of, we can do this together.
Oh, yes.
We can not all of, we don't need to pass all of this on. And so when I was ready, when I started looking at those things and started saying, okay, spirit, okay, body, okay, child, I'm going to walk this out with you. It actually meant that I was deciding to live.
Yes.
To really live.
Oh, yes.
And I was going to do it alongside this light with me. And she'll have her journey, but I'm strong enough, I feel, to walk with her on that one now. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this it really resonates with what I experienced watching you go through the process, and with what feels like now your power has been expanded, right? It's like, oh, I'm not one being. I'm a multitude of beings moving through the world in this way. And yeah, I mean, I'm really grateful. Like, for a long time, I've been like, I don't understand how people have kids in this environment, in this world, in the way that it is. And lately, I've been feeling this deep gratitude because I'm like, we need all these little baby spirit witch energies who are coming and who are like, y'all were prepared for your time. We're prepared for this time. And we are going to handle what is ours to handle in this life. And now I'm like, procreate, everybody. We need these little radical spirit babies. So thank you. Thank you for saying yes when Nona came knocking at the door. And I think I know a little of what you're going to say here, but I want to ask you explicitly, which of these traditional healing skills, which of these listening skills, which of these witchy skills do you wish everyone around you had in this apocalyptic time?
I absolutely love this question.
Mm-hmm.
I would say two things. The first is a true knowing that we're never alone. A knowing of being so connected to the land, the trees, the water, the things around us, that unbearable loneliness that so many of us have felt.
Yes.
No longer even has a name.
Oh.
And then the second one is deep breath. I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
But I'll name it so that we can talk about what's possible in the world. Is that kind of breath that frees us, the breath that can save our lives. In our particular society, we spend most of our days holding our breath so tightly that our skin dies and our spirit suffocates. And so a reconnection back to the breath of life. I think that would be the second thing.
Yeah. I'm receiving that spell as a blessing for all of the people who hear it, because that's doable. You know, I keep being moved by how the majority of these conversations are really inviting people to, it's just like, this is something you can do with the body you have in the space you are right now that will transform your life. And I think that's really, yeah, it's really nourishing for me. It's why I've always been like, I'm a practical witch. And I'm like, most of the witches I know are practical. You know, there's the performative folks who are like, you have to have a candle in this particular shade of amber blue or whatever. And it's like, dang, you know, but the majority of witches I know are like, fundamentally what we're talking about is being, really being present. If you're in the present moment, you create more possibilities, period. And I have this question for you. You know me, that I'm always like in some deep healing place, you know, like I it's my Scorpio moon. I'm not sure what it is, but there's always some kind of big healing work that I'm unveiling that feels intergenerational, that feels heartbreaking, that feels, you know, like I tend to live right in a certain spiritual threshold realm. And so when people turn to me and they're like, oh, you know things, or you're wise, or you really got it together, I kind of balk inside because I'm like, I'm figuring out the next thing I don't know. And I've just fumbled into another door, or, you know, whatever it is. And recently I've been really landing in, that's all okay. I am still able to really do powerful healing work. And in fact, I think I'm more able to do powerful healing work because of how comfortable I am with being in the threshold of my own becoming. I feel like I learned a lot of that from you, but I wanted to ask you about that. Are there things you do to ensure that the healing work you're involved in for yourself is not spilling over inappropriately into the healing work that you're offering to others?
I'll first say that I had a teacher. I have a teacher, Paola Terero, who is from the Dominican Republic but lives in New Mexico now, who says, we really don't need anything. We don't need candles or jewelry or proper attire. To do this kind of work. And we're healing, and we're doing healing work regardless of whether we have the title of healer or not. We're connecting to each other every day. And so Paola will say, really what you need is love in your heart to be open and clear when you step into a space with others. And so there have been times in my life where I've known that I'm doing such deep work and it's spilling over and it needs to, that I have made the decision that I am going to do my particular work now so that later it doesn't spill over, right? There's that part of I'm not doing external work. I'm only doing that internal work with myself now so it doesn't spill over. And then when I do feel that I'm not in a place where I'm spilling over, then I have a daily practice. I have a daily practice. And I need to be with spirit every day. I need to be in conversation every day in order to be prepared to live into my gifts, whatever those are for the day, and to be in connection with others in a way where heart to heart. Indigenous folks, at least the indigenous folks I know, or those who I've walked with, will say, we are working with the wisdom of the heart. And the wisdom of the heart is to start with the heart, not always the head. And so that's not easy work to do. And to be able to be in the wisdom of the heart is having a regular ongoing practice with how you speak to yourself, how you love yourself, how you start your day, so that whatever you're giving over to others is from that place. And then when there are times that something spills over unintentionally, then I'm honest about it.
Yeah.
And I speak to it and not try to hide it or shy away from it because I am on my journey too.
That's right.
And then we work together to either, if what that person needs is apology and to do it differently next time, I can do that. And if there's other things that we need to work through because something spilled over, I can do that and then not stop the work.
That's right. That's great. Yeah. I think, I mean, I love that also because I'm like having memories of times where you were supporting me through something or supporting me and a partner through something. Because I feel like you've held me with three of my partners. Am I right in that? And, you know, I have a tendency towards folks with a certain kind of big energy, big dynamic energy. And I remember you sitting and being like, yeah, I know that energy intimately. And I can talk to you from a place of wisdom about learning to harness that energy. And, you know, of course, I'm like, okay, partner, harness it. And, you know, which what may or may not have been helpful. But I do know that it was, for me, so helpful. That felt so different from other therapeutic spaces I'd been in where people were like, I have no life experience that I will share with you. I'm just, you know, being very clinical in this space, and how different it was to be in a space with someone who's like, I am a human being and I know exactly what it's like when that thing is out of balance from within. I know that, and I can talk about it and I can see it in you and I can honor and dignify what it's taken care of. And, you know, if it's causing harm, we have to stop that. Right. And it was like, like I wish, you know, but it was so, there was just layers of subtlety to how well that's done. Right. Cause I know I've been in spaces where I'm like, this person's oversharing or this, now it's about their journey. And I feel like I guess I want to bow down to the discretion and the skill with which you're able to bring those things into a space while keeping it about whoever's on the table, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I received that and I hope that I can continue that.
Yeah.
And if I can't, I'll make up for it.
Well, you know, what's nice for me is I'm like, you'd be so proud because I really am shifting my pattern around what, you know, I'm like, I don't think I'll ever need you to do that particular move with me again, right? Like, I'm like, oh, I'm learning something. Anyway, for our next friend talk over tea. So is there anything about this part of your life that you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask you about? Is there anything that you're like, your spirit is moving you to offer?
There's this word gratitude that a lot of, I've heard so many years and didn't understand it fully and didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I've come to a place where I get to sit here with you and have this conversation.
Yeah.
Where I get to watch my little one out on the hammock and just breathe. Where I get to look back on the pain and say, oof. We made it.
We made it.
I didn't always think I'd get here. And I didn't think I'd get here. And I also didn't want to get here. And so life has a way of gratefully moving you if you allow it. If you allow it, and if you can listen to what you came in with, you find yourself sitting with AMB.
Making AMB cry.
Oh my God.
It really just touched me, Adela. Like, I just think, you know, in the wake of this loss, I've really been thinking about how many of my close friends have been like, I don't know if I want to get anywhere. I don't know if I can, and I don't know if I will, and I don't know, you know, and we don't know how long we're given, but there is something about partnering with time that has been really resonating with me lately. That's just like, you know, there's a lot of reasons why you might choose not to, and I deeply respect it. You know, I respect all of it, and I'm so grateful for those of us who have been like, I can and I will, and you know, one more day, one more conversation, one more foot in front of the other, until you reach those moments where you're like, oh, something is behind me that I never thought I could get through. And it's not a dramatic, you don't exit that tunnel in a dramatic way. You know, it's not like you enter the tunnel often in a dramatic way, but you don't exit in a dramatic way. It's kind of like slowly you realize you're on a hillside in the grass and the sun and you're okay, you know, or you're with a loved one. And I don't know, it all gets a little less dramatic, even though there's a lot of things that are hard that are going on. I keep sitting with this like, oh, humans generally have chosen the hard way for most of our existence. And that doesn't mean I have to live that way. And even when I'm grieving, like now, I'm like, I'm taking this grief with as much softness and gratitude as I can. Like really just being like, this is my chance to practice feeling for that other side and speaking to my spirit world, because I know how to do that. Like, I actually do know how to feel. I feel my friend very deeply. I know how to feel for those I've lost and let them know I'm here, you know? Yeah, thank you, love. You always, thank you. I'm always like, you can do more with two sentences than than most people. Okay, thank you, my love. I am going to read a piece from Fables and Spells that feels so right for you. It's called The Children, and it makes me think of you and Nona and the way you've been with my nibblings and, you know, my little ones. So it's a solstice poem, but so many of them are. So we'll just see if it comes out near solstice. The children run up the stairs, and I realize how old I have become. One choice at a time, in the places I come together and where I am forever apart. The children climb me. I offer branches and answers to their years. I have to be so solid, so much stronger than I am. The children are full. I am humbled by the life in them. They laugh with nothing held back. They demand everything of my attention. They bring me here, now. My child faces a mirror on the wall, smiles toothless, echoing us before all the lessons. We know everything. Life is learning to forget. The children resist even sleep. They know how precious all this living is. They dream with open eyes and surrender mid-vision. The children gift me the miracle of letting go, the wonder of and in time, the wilderness of right now, the possibility of dawn.
Thank you for finding the words.
Yeah.
Adrienne.
These babies. Yes. I know. Now my womb is all pulsing. I adore you to the max.
And me you.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful for how you're walking this life and that you're willing to offer your wisdom and your presence in an ongoing way to mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I love you and beloved listeners. I love y'all. I hope that you're understanding just like what portal opening is happening with these guests. Like, they are taking us places that I hope, yeah, it's working for me. I hope it's working for you. So thank you all for tuning in. Again, we are produced by, I think he's a little spellcaster, Zach Rosen. We are available for your support. You can roll with us at patreon.com/endoftheworldshow. If you think that this season is the best thing you ever heard in your life, you should leave a review on Apple Podcasts or other places where you can uplift the show or share it in your social medias and let people know, hey, something magic's happened over here. We're also on Instagram at End of the World PC occasionally, and we are transcribed by Sarah Robbins Green. Thank y'all, and cast a spell today.